And welcome to the Congress of Automotive Repair and Service, CARS. This event is huge. It's from the Memorial Convention Center in the Big Easy in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I got to tell you, I was really anxious to get here to the floor so that I could share information with you, those of you who are tuned in now to watchbobbylive.com, and also every week on our nationally broadcast syndicated Bobby Leica's Car Clinic Global Cast. And I say global cast because we video cast. And so glad to have you join us in the house. And speaking of someone joining us is Kelly Davis, Director of Regulatory Affairs for RFA, which stands for the Renewable Fuels Association. Kelly, glad to have you on the stage.
Love to be here. This has been a fun event.
It really has, and it's been a very successful event. And I want to get right into E10, E15, ethanol, and what that brings to the consumers at the pump and what it's done over the past 5 to 10 years.
Well, the first thing it's bringing to the consumers is lower prices at the pump, and I think everybody responds to that. Ethanol has been notoriously lower than wholesale gasoline prices for the last few years. And last year, an average cost savings was about $1.09 a gallon. So that's quite a bit. But ethanol is also domestically produced, and it helps create manufacturing jobs here in the U.S. That's another wonderful aspect of ethanol. But probably the best is it's an energy security issue. The foreign oil imports are something that we can't continue to afford to pay for. So to be able to produce a domestically renewable fuel source here in the U.S. of A is what we're here for.
And how do we educate, which is technicians, the automotive technicians of the world, that perhaps didn't go through the mid-70s, the gas line shortage, the oil embargo, and the gasohol days that I shared, and I do not wish to return ever again. And I know that ethanol as a fuel enablers the high compression of smaller engines today, and that's where we're seeing, especially with the CAFE mandate, the 54.5 mandate, that is now with us for sure. I see that as a direct relationship and correlation to not only the E10 that we see at the pump, but to additional additives of ethanol in our gasoline blends.
Yes, we're here in the booth today with Ricardo, who has a new ethanol-optimized engine. I just love that word. You know, we have a fleet of autos out there that are all gasoline-optimized, but as we increase the renewable content in our fuels with ethanol, we really do need more ethanol-optimized cars, so I'm really proud to be here with Ricardo in talking about that.
And you mentioned that engine, that's an EBDI. It's Extreme Boost Direct. I love that word,
EBDI,
Extreme Boost Direct Injection. And it is. It has to be extreme when you consider that using E85, they're getting, with a 3.2-liter gasoline engine, the equal torque and horsepower of a 6.4 diesel engine. And we're looking at, across from us, as you know, in the Renewable Fuels Association booth, the RFA booth, the EBDI truck, which is an 8,000-pound Sierra, which is huge. And here's this little 3.2 V6. It's a big truck, and it has the application for that particular truck. What I especially like from the standpoint of the fitment is that for that truck, the 3.2 gasoline with E85 mm-hmm. ethanol replaces the diesel. But you can make smaller versions, and that engine is a test bed, if you would, mm-hmm. that Ricardo has done and worked with the EPA.
Well, that's where we are in the industry, is that we now have federal directives to obviously make our corporate average fuel economy better. The number's supposed to be like 54 and it by, what, 2025,
exactly.
Something like that. So very quickly here, we have to start producing more energy-efficient cars while we're decreasing the size of the engine. And so that's where ethanol has been uniquely found into play, and why we think it will be the fuel of the future, because ethanol carries 113 blending octane with it. And so octane is the way to be able to downsize that and use the fuel and use technologies to achieve our goals.
So we're making a smaller engine, we're using a higher compression ratio with higher cylinder pressures, and we're using the high octane properties of ethanol to enable that engine to reach that peak pressure without detonation, without mm-hmm. destroying the engine, and producing increased horsepower, cleaner burning air. Now, a good question. What are some of the challenges across the U.S. with educating consumers with regard to ethanol?
Well, ethanol has a lot of detractors, and the detractors have perpetually put out misinformation. And anytime misinformation is in the media and the press, that's what I'm seeing at the booth. They still come by the booth, and they'll still bring the same myths up relative to the product that they're using every day. That they don't realize that we're going to bust those myths on Saturday, that these are not true, this misinformation. And that's the reason the RFA came here with the Bobby Likas team and the Ricardo team, was to actually start getting our message out to the actual mechanic. You know, everybody takes their car in for service, and we're going to trust what our mechanic says. And so we don't need our mechanics out there having a lot of misinformation. So the Renewable Fuels Association has always been a very technically based, data-based, factual type organization. And we have these education outreach programs. We, 25 years ago, we produced those changes in gasoline manuals. We have one available at the booth, and it's in its fourth rendition. You know, gasoline does change, and it's going to continue to change as we move forward. The biggest education outreach that we have going on right now is E15. E15, which is 15% ethanol content in your gasoline, has been approved for model year cars and light duty trucks 2001 and forward. So as we need to get this, we've worked with the EPA, and we've developed an E15 retailer. You know, the retailer is who we need to educate now on being able to get these fuels to the service station, and so that the consumer can have more choice at the pump.
Okay, I want to talk about corn. And I want to know, and
the candy
I want
corn?
To share, the candy corn is terrific. That was a great idea there.
Cool.
One of the biggest challenges that I've seen are the myths. It's been the fact that the food versus fuel. And although I just want to touch on that just for one moment, I want to make sure that I have this correct, so that when I talk to my customers, and I'm in the service business and have been for 41 years, and our 15,000 square foot automotive service shop has serviced more than 175,000 automobiles over my career in the automotive service. So 30% of a grain of corn goes for ethanol.
Yes.
And 30% to carbon dioxide.
Yes.
And a third, the other 30%, is used as feedstock.
Yes, the remaining, we take the corn kernel, and we only utilize the starch that is in the corn kernel to produce the ethanol fuel. The residual fiber, proteins, and things that are left behind are all concentrated up. And, you know, it triples up. So if you have an 8% protein corn, or you're going to have a 24 to 27% protein feed ingredient. Distillers dried grains with solubles is a wonderful co-product for our producers. So when you hear people saying that we're taking food and turning it into fuel, we're also returning a better food back to the livestock.
What could be worse? I mean, as it is, we take crude and we pay tremendous amounts, $1 billion a day.
$1 billion a day.
That we export out of this country.
Yes.
And we simply just bring the crude in and take that cash and burn it into midair. That's what we're doing. But with ethanol, we actually can take some of the crude and make products, the plastics. I mean, there's always and will always be a need for crude.
Yeah, medicines. Well, a crude oil is wonderful.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Our
whole infrastructure, mm-hmm. Certainly for 100 years more, has been based on that. And speaking of 100 years, Henry Ford's first vehicle, the quadricycle, in 1896 was actually made to run on 100% pure ethanol. And then in 1909, when the Model T rolled off the assembly line, that automobile was the first flex fuel. And when you think about that, and you think about
what old is new again.
What is old is new again. And Ricardo, Sir Harry Ricardo, who founded the Ricardo company that you referred to, actually was deeply and heavily involved in renewable energies, mm-hmm. as was Henry Ford, mm-hmm. and the revitalization of rural America is fantastic. And from my standpoint, Kelly, if I were given the opportunity and say, okay, let's just say that it's a wash meaning that the dollars that we keep from spending overseas, go to the farmers, to rural America, then I'm 150% for ethanol. And I'm sure that automotive technicians, once we bust the myths that we will do at the National Automotive Service Task Force session tomorrow, we'll also agree and have to agree on the facts.
Yes, and we'll leave them plenty of information and calls forward so they can continually stay in touch with us for further updates.
Well, thanks for joining me again.
Well, thanks, Bobby. It's great being here.
It's great. Yeah. There you have it, live from the Congress of Automotive Repair and Service, the CARS event from Memorial Convention Center in the Big Easy, Louisiana, New Orleans, Louisiana.